strange environments for me. Usually I'm staring through the window I have here, and it's very Arctic. Let's see if you can see that.
Oh,
anything
man.
There. No, just like snow and cold and everything.
Right. All right, what's up, everybody? This is Brian Israel, San Diego Metal Swap Talk, with a very, very special guest today. We're very excited to have this guy here. A big surprise for us to be able to land this one. Power Metal Titans from Finland, Mr. Tony Kakko from Sonata Arctica. Tony, welcome aboard.
Hello.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here. How are you guys?
Doing great, man. So you guys have a new album coming out. March 8th, out on Atomic Records, Clear Cold Beyond. Sonata Arctica comes back again. I mean, didn't really come back because you guys have been pretty active since the pandemic and everything. But it's been 5 years since the last kind of like, you know, classical Sonata Arctica album. You guys did put out a couple of acoustic albums in the meanwhile. Can you tell us what the writing process was for Clear Cold Beyond? Was this written during the pandemic as well?
No, that was, well, is it over yet?
Right, is it over yet?
But yeah, well, it has become the new normal, as they say. So yeah, I started writing the songs right in the beginning of 22, early 23. And I kept writing for 2-3 months. And I had to actually cut it, because we had like too many songs already, and I just came up with more and more new songs, and I was in flames. I would have loved to just, you know, in flames, your shirt. I would have loved to just, you know, go on and write, but we had to hit the studio and give Tommy something to play, and the drums, and so I had to cut the process, unfortunately, in the middle of it. But we had like plenty. We had already too many songs, so it was like a pleasure. It's easy for us to choose which songs we want to have on the actual album and or actually on the recordings. And then later on, we just had to choose which we actually want to have on the album then. And so it was fairly quick, easy. We were in the middle of the whole writing process. We toured to Latin America. And I wrote vast majority of the lyrics on that tour, sitting by the pool somewhere, and then such strange environments for me. Usually I'm staring through the window I have here, and it's very Arctic. Let's see if you can see that.
Oh, man.
There. No, just like snow and cold and everything.
Right.
So, yeah.
So I imagine that possibly made of influence the lyrics. Speaking of the lyrics, I knew we would eventually fall into the sea, but we didn't expect Sonata Arctica to have the soundtrack to that. Can you tell us a little bit about the, can you give some insight behind the song California?
California. Well, I'm using California in this song in the same sort of meaning, like, you know, flying cows. I will be your when the cows are flying kind of thing. Because it is like, in the song, I'm saying it's a human relationship thing. And things go wrong, and there's a person who is interested in anybody in the story telling me that and then for all the wrong reasons, he or she is trying to use the person singing the song to gain something, popularity, access to some other people or whatever. But I'm aware of that. And hence, I'm just, you know, rejecting that person and telling that person that I'll be yours when California falls into the sea, which I studied as much that it's never going to happen. It's impossible because the continental plates are going in a different direction.
Right.
But there's going to be tremors and shit like that, obviously. Sorry. But yeah, you're probably used to it. Anyhow,
that's a great song.
Slide into the sea, like in the science fiction movies.
Right. So, yeah. Yeah, we've been listening to the album lately, and it's really good. We've really been enjoying it, so we are really happy that it's I believe it's going to do real well. So, the main songwriter of the band, how do you balance the creative input from the rest of the band?
Well, lately it's been very limited. This is our album number 11, and so far there have been two songs from other members of the band. So it's fairly low percentage, I'd say. So it's whenever they come up with something, sometimes we are able to sort of slide it in. But they usually use their creativity within the song that I provide them. I leave their certain things so they have like freedom of writing solos and certain bits and pieces. Like I sometimes may not come up with a smart riff for a guitar to play in a certain spot somewhere, and so I just leave it blank and just tell them to play something in that kind of something style, something hard or something long winding chords or whatever. And they have a playroom there, and I think it's easier. Like the guys say, that it's easier when you have one skipper in the boat, basically. You know,
Sure, and they pretty
like
much kind
following
of
one,
flesh the rest of it out. Yep.
following one guy's vision mostly. If everybody's pulling the album in a different direction, it's getting a little bit difficult. But still, I think this allows everybody some artistic freedom in their own instrument. Everybody gets to make the song their own,
And I imagine it makes
mostly.
the writing process a lot move along a lot faster in that.
I've read that the arrangements are fairly complete when I give it to the guys. There are some bits and pieces. I usually don't touch the solos, the freeform solos that are there, but then there are some things that are like written things that I've read ready, and you guys play what I have here. But usually there is always a free form solo and a lot of room for, like, for example, keyboard player Henrik. I never tell him too much what to play with piano, although I play myself, obviously. But I leave him a room to make it sound like an actual piano player is playing the piano bits.
Gotcha. Now, you have another tour coming up this March in Finland, right after the album drops. How involved are you in planning the visual aspects, the lighting, the stage design?
Not too much. Back in the day when we started the whole thing, it was chronic. I was trying to control absolutely everything and anything before I started trusting the people that work for us. They actually are professional and know what they are doing. So usually my input, especially when it comes to the actual live show, and I come up with certain ideas during the tour. Like it would be really cool if the whole stage went dark in certain moment, and I would just only have a spot or whatever, and we change the lighting situations, for example, in the middle of the tour sometimes. So well, stage, what the stage looks like, that is something that we plan together, because it obviously it involves monetary investments as well. So it's I think everybody needs to be involved in that. So it somehow stays in check financially. I mean,
Stays within
it's
budget.
part of the, exactly. And we don't have to hire 10 more guys to build everything up, every show, and that the whole thing stays in such way that it's possible for band our size to fit it in most of the venues that we play, so we get to use the actual stage thing. So that basically what it means is that we have two or three different sizes of backdrops and whatever side drops we might have, and such things that is
Gotcha,
easy
gotcha.
to like sort of get in a certain, to scale it down or up,
Right.
basically. But still, whatever huge backdrop we come up with and print, then we go and play some festival like Wacken Open Air, and it looks like a stamp in
Yeah.
letters.
I'll be seeing you there this summer, so we'll see what you
Very
got.
cool. Nice, nice.
Having toured like Latin America and Japan, what do you think it is about the music you guys create that resonates so much with those different demographics?
Well, like in Japan and Latin America especially, people tend to be very much passionate about speedy stuff and something that has something beautiful. When it comes to Japan, beautiful is a very important thing for them there. And have beautiful melodies and lyrics, and the whole concept resonates some like a visual way and gives them something. They don't necessarily even understand some, in some of the countries, the lyrical content of the song. So that doesn't necessarily play a huge role in the whole thing. But it's if you have a speedy song and it's beautiful melodies and something you can sing along, even if you don't know the lyrics, then it works. And I don't know, it's a Finnish, for us Finns, it comes really naturally. We have this Slavic melancholic mood somehow within us, at least our generation. Still, we were born around the time when Finland was fairly close to Russia. Also, we had close relations with them and everything. So, not anymore.
This upcoming album will be released on Atomic Fire Records. And in the past, you were on Nuclear Blast. What role do you feel that record labels can contribute to the band's success anymore? Is it still a big part?
That depends on the amount of work that the band is willing to put into it. And if the band has resources and connections, you can always hire like PR professionals to work for you, and who then again have the connections in the right places. But for us, at least, it helps. It's so much easier for us to just, you know, be on a label. We're used to it. We are that old guys. it's the way it's always been. At the same time, we're seeing in social media a lot of bands doing it on their own, smaller ones, obviously, and somehow getting through as well. So it's less and less. But I think for older established bands, it seems to be the way. If you are able to get a decent recording contract from a label and a label that is willing to put out physical copies of the album, at least for us, it's very important. I can't imagine not having physical copies of the album. That should be a thing, especially in the metal thing. You know, it's very difficult to sign digital copies of the album, for example. it seems to be a big thing, you know, people coming up with vinyls and everything, and it's amazing. So I think they still serve a purpose, but I think it's less and less these days, unfortunately. Somehow I miss the olden days before internet and everything, as easy as it is to talk with you guys on internet right now, but it has come, you know, with so many downsides as well. I'm also of that age that I vividly remember the time there was no internet at all. So
yeah, that makes sense. We had a recent discussion on our YouTube channel about our all-time favorite metal live albums. Do you have any favorites in that category?
The first album that I ever bought, or actually it was a tape cassette, it was Queen Live Magic 1986. Mm-hmm. And so that has a special place in my heart. And the reason I even got the whole thing was that I saw a Queen concert on TV. I came back from school. I was still on elementary school, like maybe on fourth grade or something like that. And I turned on the TV and was channel hopping through all the four channels that we had. Two of them were Swedish. one of the Finnish channels, there was like this concert. And I said, okay, that looks nice. And stayed on that concert. And it was Queen. I had never even heard of the band before. And it was amazing. I just completely fell in love with it. And then there was some newspaper or something had an advertisement of this music club that you can join, and you get like three free cassettes when you join and everything. And I jumped on the occasion and got me a Queen live album that was available there easily. And then one was Slippery When Wet by Bon Jovi, and then Whiplash Smile by Billy Idol. Those were the three first things, music cassettes, that I ever purchased myself, or I got them for free, but I paid for them later. in many different ways. But still, yeah. So that definitely plays a big role. And I have to say that Queen live magic. That's my choice here. There are great other live albums as well, but that plays a big role.
It's a good one. I have a buddy who's a big fan. His name is Eduardo Navarrete.
Navarrete.
Navarrete, yeah. He asks, what has been the most challenging part of your career and how did you deal with that?
I think it's every time when you have to go through a member change within the band for any reason. So those are the most demanding things. I can't imagine anything more difficult. No, it's, well, someone dying, that would be something, God forbid. So, but you know, when you have to let someone go, you know, that's very difficult because these are like brothers, these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And when, yeah, it's, yeah, this is my answer. Yeah. Member changes. It's never easy.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, that sounds difficult. That's all we got for today, and we appreciate your time.
Mm-hmm.
And best of luck on the album. We look forward to checking it out when it comes out as well, even though we've got a preview copy.
Yeah, we heard it, and I think we're going to keep listening to it. So the album is Clear Cold Beyond from Sonata Arctica, out on March 8th through Atomic Records.
Atomic Fire.
lots of different ways. It's a lot of different formats that it's coming out. So like Tony was mentioning, physical copies. Pick up a physical copy. We'll pick it up.
Absolutely.
Ours. So thanks for joining us, Tony. Until next time, Brian, Israel, Metal Swap Talk. We'll see you later.
Thanks for having me.